Okay, we're going to do Pehei, the Daf Pehei in Erevin. We're going to start right from the bottom, the last three words on the bottom of Pei Dalet Amud Beis. So the Gemara says as follows. We just had this concept that if you have two Rishuyos, one next to the other, what kind of simon do you have to make in order to use the in-between Rishuyos. So the Gemara says, this is really starting a new thing. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Bar Sheben Shtei Chatzeres. If you happen to have a bar, a water pit, that is located in between two courtyards, it's the backyard, and Rashi explains that the case is that this is in a courtyard that people don't actually walk into. It's the only access, it's not a thoroughfare, the only access really is through people's backyard windows. And they throw their pail out through the back window into the bar, and they draw water, and that's how they get their water. So they have a well in their backyard, and multiple people are able to access it, but nobody really walks through there per se. So that's the case over there. So the question is, since there's multiple people, as we've been talking about all along, you always need some. The question is, what do you need to show that everybody's allowed? Do you need an erev? What do you need to show that it's mutter for everybody to use? So first we have to set up the case. The bar shebin shtei chatzeres. You have a bar that's in between two courtyards. Mufleges mikosel zeh arba mikosel zeh arba. That's separated. It's apart. It's a little bit distance from the wall. Four tfachim from each wall. Nobody has. In other words, it's not directly below anybody's window. So how do we have rights to use that water on Shabbos? The Gemara says that moitzi ziz kol shehu umamale. If it's that moitzi ziz kol shehu umamale, each person sticks out some sort of pole sticking out of their rishus, out of the back wall of their house, and that that stick, which is long enough, makes it obvious that I have a right to fill up water on Shabbos. That's Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, although that's the question is really whether he said this in the name of Shmuel or not. That's Rashi later. But and then Rabbi Yehuda Didei Amar, Rabbi Yehuda in the name of himself says, Afilu Kanya, even if you stick out a stick, in other words, it's just a flimsy stick, it doesn't really need to be a real, a very stark indication of that I'm trying to make a simon. Just anything, any sort of sign that I'm showing that this is not my own private rishus, is enough to make it mutter for me to draw water from this bar. So Amar Lei, now again, let's assume, for argument's sake, the way Rashi is learning that when Rabbi Yehuda Didei said this, he did not say this off a quote of the Gemara, of the line right before, which was Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. He said this on his own. So now the question is, so Amar Lei Abaye le Rabbi Yehuda, so Abaye says to Rabbi Yehuda, how did Rabbi Yehuda to Shmuel? You should happen to know that when Rabbi Yehuda said this, he was saying this following Shmuel Shita, which we'll explain in a moment to mean that Shmuel says that even though it's not really usher, but since two people have rights, you should make some sort of simon, you should show some sort of indication that it's mutter to use that rishus. The either Rav, because if you're following Rav Shita, Ha'omar, Rav said, Ein Adam Oyser Al Chavei Rei Derech Avir. That Rav says that you don't even, that a person, if the only access somebody else has to something I want to use is through airspace, but he doesn't walk there, he doesn't go there, he doesn't access it physically, he just uses the airspace to get there. Let's say he throws something, or in the case of the pail, he draws the pail to him. So in that case, according to Rav, it doesn't answer at all. So you don't even need some sort of flimsy indication. You need nothing. Rav holds completely mutter, I wouldn't even need this kanya, I wouldn't even need this stick sticking out there at all. Okay, so therefore it must be according to Shmuel that Shmuel says once I have this problem that people are shearing over shus, I have to make some sort of indication. So the Gemara says the Shmuel mehecha. Where do we see Shmuel says this based on what Shmuel said? Where do we see Shmuel said something that I therefore see that if people can use airspace, I have to make an indication that it's mutter for me as well? What case? So first the Gemara suggests Eleim mehecha Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. If you want to quote from what we said earlier last week, that Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel. This case, Gaga Samach L'Rishos HaRabim. You have a roof which is close to Rishos HaRabim, and now theoretically the question is whether people from the Rishos HaRabim have access to that roof or not. So we say Tzarech Sulam Kavua L'Hatira. If you want to make it mutter for this Gag to operate on its own and not be drawn into the Rishos HaRabim, exactly what the case is, you need some sort of ladder. Let's say Rashi learns the case that there was a merpesis, there was some sort of ledge there, and there's a ladder from the merpeses out on top of the roof, and that shows that the person's intent is that the roof and the merpeset should be considered a separate rishus, shouldn't be tied in to the rishus rabban. So what do we see? We see that since the people in the rishus rabban theoretically could have used it by throwing things from the rishus rabban onto the roof, and that was enough to aser, and he says, oh, put a ladder there. Now, if you put a ladder there, then it makes it mutter. So we see that according to Shmuel, you need to put something, you need to some sort of indication, some simin to make it mutter. Otherwise, we say too many people have access to this area, even derech through the ear space, and it's aser. Mar says, no, maybe that's not a raya, but that's what Shmuel holds. Dilma k'derav papa. Maybe, really, Shmuel in general holds that just because somebody has access, that's not really enough of a reason to make it aser. Here is a special reason, like we explained last week, according to Rav Papa, which was that this roof, or the mepeses, the access is so easy. For example, remember the case was that you put your hat down, and it's just so easy to take your hat off or your handkerchief and put it down over there to rest. So that's why that really is what connects the roof to the Rishus Rabban. But normally, if you had to throw something, it was slightly inconvenient, maybe Shmuel would even hold, I don't have to do any indication whatsoever. So we can't really prove that Shmuel holds throwing something through the airspace is enough to make it aser. So rather, we want to learn Shmuel's halacha from this other halacha, which is, again, something similar to what we saw before, and that's the raya that Rabbi Yehuda today wasn't saying it based on what we saw before. That's the way Rashi learned. So we want to learn it from this. Rather, the case is that each person, when they have a bar in the middle, each person has to stick out a pole, and that's the raya. Time is the afik. It's only mutter to use the rishos in the middle because I stuck out my pole. Aloy afik, but if I don't have a pole indicating that it's mutter for me to use, amina adam oitzer achaver derech avir. We'll end up saying that a person, because the other guy also has rights to use it through the airspace, it will become also for me to use this space, unless I have some sort of indication showing why it's mutter, is showing that I have a connection to this and making it mutter. So that's the raya that Shmuel holds, that normally, even though all his access is through airspace, I still have to put some. It's not really technically aser because it's a chotzer, it's a rishos hayachid, it's a dinder rabbanon. But even so, Shmuel requires some sort of indication. Now, the second thing we said was it had to be Shmuel and it couldn't be Rav. So Rav, because Rav held that I don't need any indication whatsoever. If it's a mutter rishos, it's completely mutter. So for the Rav Mehecha, where do we see that Rav held that even though two people have access through it, since they don't have direct access, it's completely mutter? Where do we see that Rav held that? Ilema, if you want to suggest that this is where we see it, Meha, from this. The case was, Shtei Gezuster Ezula Malamizu. This is also a case that we just saw last week. Two porches, one is slightly higher than the other. And the case was, Asa Mechitza L'Elyon, Evel Asa Mechitza L'Tachtoina. Remember, the case was that this is their overhanging water, and they want to be able to draw water through the porch. So they create some sort of chute, either on bottom or below the porch, and then they could draw water through the porch. Anyway, the problem was in this case that they only made the chute from the top porch and not from the bottom porch. So the case is like this. Shtei Nasurois, both of them are going to be Usr, Achi Yarbu, until they make an Eruk. The Amarav Huna Amarav, and here we see in the quoting Rav, which is important because we're trying to prove Rav Shita, Loishanu Elabismucha. That's only talking about that it's Usr because the two porches are right next to each other, so they're both sharing the same chute. And that's why it's going to, so now you need an Eruv, because two people are using it. But if the two porches are far apart, more than four tefachim apart from each other, so then Rav says the halacha is, so the top porch is able to use it on his own, and the bottom porch is considered too far apart, and he's completely osur. But what do we see? We see that, why is the bottom porch considered separated away? Because his only access would have been to throw his pail four tefachim across, and up and across and so on. So we see that Rav holds that since I have to throw it to get there, that's considered far enough away that it's considered separate, and it's my rishus is completely mutter. I don't have to worry about the fact that this guy has an inconvenient access. So that's a raya that Rav holds is completely mutter, because the top guy was mutter. So once again, the Gemara says, no, it's not a raya. Dilma, maybe in this case, the Shani Hacha, the reason why Rav holds it's mutter over here with nothing is because the Kivan de Lezeb is Rika Vishilshul, that the case was that the bottom guy, in order for him to be able to use the top porch, he would have to throw his pail up and down. Right, up, over, and across. So that's too much. That's considered an inconvenience that separates the bottom guy too much. But the top guy, all he has to do is just drop his pail through the chute. So that would be that would be the equivalent of when we all agree that when one person has the ability only through zrika, and one has the ability through a straight door, through an opening. So that's always considered. We always give the rishus to the guy with the straight door. It's considered part of his rishus, and that's why it's mutter. But maybe Anachanami Rav would agree that if both of them were had a slight inconvenience, maybe Anachanami Rav would also agree that you have to have a simon to make it mutter. So we don't have a raya from that case. So rather, let's bring a raya from another thing that Rav said. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravu, Amar Rav. So Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav, Shnei Batim. Here's a special case. You have two houses, Vashalash Chulbois Benam, and you have three broken down courtyards in between them. That means a house, there were, let's say, a row of houses, and the three middle ones have broken down walls, and nobody lives and nobody owns them. So, in the Havamina of the Gemara, they're lined up in one straight row. Zemeshtamish Besamach Shaloi. So the halacha is that Rav says that the person all the way to the left is allowed to use the courtyard directly next to him, Ayyadei Zrika, throwing things through his window. He can drop things into the courtyard next to him. Vezemeshtamish Besamach Shaloi, Ayyadei Zrika. And the guy all the way to the right can use the courtyard that is also directly next to him by throwing things through his window. And the middle one is Osir. So what do we see? We see that even though theoretically there are broken down walls in between, so we see that he could theoretically, the guy all the way to the left, if he wanted to, he could throw something from his window all the way across to the chatzar, all the way to the right, if he wanted to. And even so, it's mutter for the guy on the right. So we see that I don't have to make any indication whatsoever, and it's still completely mutter for the guy on the right to use, or the guy on the left, to each one to use the chatzar directly next to him, even though the other guy could have thrown something through the courtyard, through the chorba, to get to his courtyard. So we see that the fact that he can throw something to my rishos doesn't make it awesome. So that's what the Gemara wants to bring a raya, that Rav holds if his only access is through throwing something there, it's not going to make me awesome. So Yosef Rav Baroina, the Ka'amar Lo Hashmait, so Rav Baroina was repeating this Gemara. Amar Lei Rabbi Elazar Bar Bei Rav. So Rabbi Elazar, in the name of Rav, said, Amar Rav, Hochi, did Rav really say this halacha? Amar Lei In? Said, yeah. Said he did say this. So Amar Lei, so Rabbi Elazar said, Achli Li Yoshpiza, show me where he's sleeping. I want to ask him about this. Achli Lei, showed him where he was. Asa Lekame to Rav. So Rabbi Elazar came to Rav to ask him a question. Amar Lei, Amar Mar, Hochi, did Rav really say this halacha? Amar Lei In? Yes, I said this halacha. Amar Lei, so Rabbi Elazar asked Rav a question. Amar Huda Amar, you yourself said earlier, remember we learned last week that if they're both, this was a machlekes Rav and Shmuel, if they're both slightly inconvenient, one has to drop it down to get access and one has to throw it up to get access, you held that even though one of them was slightly more convenient than the other, but there's still the inconvenience to both of them made both of them usher. So here too, this case that one guy has to drop his bucket into the chutzah directly next to him, and the other person would have to throw the bucket across or throw whatever object across all the way to the chorba next to him. You're saying now that it's mutter for the guy to drop into the chutzah next to him. But according to you, if they're both slightly inconvenient, they're still considered usher. So you're contradicting yourself. So Amar Lei, Sarav said, "Mi savers tekami kashura." Do you think I'm talking about a case where the house is like a row house? We said that they're all lined up in one line. They're like a tripod. That the three, like look at the picture on the left of the Gemara, where you have the three churbas that are in a triangle. Two of the churbas are directly next to the properties, and they're next to each other. And the third one runs all the way from one chatzar, one house, all the way to the other chatzar. And that third courtyard is not in between the two side ones. If so, the reason why I hold its mutter is because the churba that's next to me is for exactly the reason I just said, because for me it's totally convenient, and for him it's only a zrika. And I would agree that the middle churba, which is what you were trying to bring a raya from, is also because both of us have direct access, or a similar type of access to that middle courtyard, and that's why it's going to be also. But really I hold that if one courtyard has direct access and the other one's only a zrika, it's going to be mutter, and I hope. But if they're both inconvenient, that one's doing shulshul and one is doing zrika, I would agree in that case that's completely different. That they're both similarly inconvenient or slightly similarly inconvenient, so then they're both going to be usher, right? As opposed to this case of the churba, where one of them has, it's like a pesach din, it's totally convenient, and the other one is totally inconvenient with zrika, that's going to be mutter to the one that has the total convenience. Whereas if one has zrika and one has shulshul, where they're slightly both inconvenient, just one is a slightly more inconvenient than the other, Rav is going to hold they're both asr. Amale Rav Papa the Rabba. So now Rav Papa says a new halacha to Rabba. Lema Shmuel. Remember, Shmuel was the one that said you need some sort of indication in order to make the middle Rishos Mutter. Less later Rav Dimi. He must not hold of Rav Dimi. Why? The Chiyasa Rav Dimi. Because when Rav Dimi came to town, Amar Rav Yochanan, he said in the name of Rav Yochanan, Mokam She'ein Boy Dalad Al Dalad. If you have an area that's more than less than 10 before Amos across, before Tzvachim across, Mutter, and it's located directly in between, right? It's a stump. In between the Rishus HaYachid and the Rishus HaRab, Mutter Levnei Rishus HaRab, and Levnei Rishus HaYachid, Lekasev Elav, both of them are allowed to use the middle stump, what we would call otherwise a Mokum Ptur. Well, Bubad, Shalai Yachlifa, as long as they don't bring something from the, let's say, for example, from the Rishus HaYachid, leave it there, and then take it from there to the Rishus HaRab. The Rishus HaYachid could put it there and then pull it back into the Rishus HaYachid. And the Rishus HaRab can put it there and then pull it back into the Rishus HaRab. That's okay. But you can't go from one Rishus, drop it there, and then go into the completely other, the other side, the other Rishus. In any event, so we see that that's completely mutter, and over there there's no indication. Remember, according to Shmuel Shita, even if it's mutter, you need some sort of simen to make it mutter. So it must be that Shmuel doesn't hold to this. So the Gemara answers, no. Hasam Rishio is deraisa. Over there, that case was a Malkan Petur, and there was you're dealing with the Rishus HaRab and Rishus HaYachid, which are both deraisa. Hacha the Rishio is deraban. Over here, we're talking about going from one chatzar to another chatzar, which are all a din derabanan, and therefore. And therefore, there's a different halacha. And the Chachamim wanted to be more stringent than what the Torah requires or allowed. The Torah is saying, "I'm not worried that you're going to do something completely aser. So as long as you can go from one rishos to another rishos." Whereas the Rabbanon are afraid that if I allow you to go from one rishos to another rishos, it's going to turn into something more and going to end up being more makel than I should. So the Chachamim put their foot down and say, "You have to put a sim in there." Okay, now the Gemara says another case. Amar Ravina LaRava. Now Ravina said to Rava, "Mi Amar Rav Hachi? Did Rav really say that if it's going through a Mokum Tzrika, it's going to be completely Mutter Vayitzmar?" But we have another case similar to that. Shnei Batim Shnei Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. If a person has Rashi is Masber, if a person owns two properties and each property is directly across from the other, but on the opposite side of the Rishus HaRabim, that's the way Rashi learns. In any event, so the halacha is Rav Bar Rav Huna Omar Rav, says in the name of Rav, also Lizrek Mizelazah, I can't throw from one porch on the left side of the Rishus Rabbim across to the other side, to the right side of the Rishus Rabbim. Also Lizrek Mizelazah. Shmuel Amar Mutter, and Shmuel says it's Mutter Lizrek Mizelazah. But we see according to Rav, it's Osir. Even though, and it sounds like, the reason why it's Osir is because it's going through the top of the Rishus Rabbim, and that's an area that the people in the Rishus HaRabim can throw things through. So we see the fact that they have access to an area through airspace makes it usher on me. That's why it must be usher for me to throw from one porch to the other. Amar Leis, so Rava answered, no. Lavni akimno demadlichad metadlichad. We said that that case of the porch was a special case, that one of the porches was higher than the other porch. And therefore, Zimnin, sometimes what could happen is the Magander, that you're going to throw it short, the Nafal, it's going to fall into the Rishus HaRabim, and you're going to end up saying, whoops, it fell into the Rishus HaRabim, you're going to go down and you're going to get it, and you're going to carry something from the Rishus HaRabim into your Rishus HaYachid, and that's why it's Aser. In other words, really to throw things from across the Rishus HaRabim, Be'etzem, would be Mutter. And in fact, if the two porches are on the same level, it's going to be Mutter. The only reason why it's Aser over here is because one porch is higher than the other, and you're afraid that you're not going to have such a good arm, and you're going to end up throwing it short, it's not going to reach, and you end up throwing things, and you're going to end up picking it up out of the Rishus HaRabim. But really, Erech Hanami, technically, it's going to be, technically, it would otherwise, to throw things through Rishus HaRabim, it's going to be Mutter. So it comes out at Maskanas Gemara, Machlekes Rav and Shmuel, according to Rav, it's completely Mutter, just even though you, because if you're only access through airspace, but according to Shmuel, really, even though technically it's Mutter, if it's access is through airspace, however, we're going to require some sort of simen, some sort of indication to make it mutter, to show that I understand that this is a dual rishos, and therefore it's mutter. But you have to show that. Look the next mishnah. Hanoisin is a ruv v'nu alocha. Hanoisin is a ruv v'veishar achzajon v'peset. Now we're talking about where are you going to leave the erev. Everybody agrees that when you make an erev chateris or a shutus mevois, you have to leave the erev someplace where everybody has access. What area are you going to put this in? So if I put the erev, the Beis Shaar is a gatehouse in front of my courtyard, Achsadra is a hallway in front of my court, in front of my house, and Mapesas is a porch sticking out of the house, an erev. Putting it there is not considered an erev because that's not considered leaving it in a house. The erev has to be in a house, it has to be in a mokah and Meshumah, according to some Rishonim. Okay. V'hadarsham, and therefore similarly, if I live in that, in a porch, for example, in an osir, I'm not considered living in a house, I'm not considered a second resident of the courtyard, and I don't make it osir, I don't make it necessary to make an eruv. In osir alof, They don't make it usur on the, let's say there's one person living there, and I would technically be the second person because I'm on the porch. That doesn't count. I'm considered his guest. I'm not considered a second person. However, Beis HaTeven, if I live in his silo where he keeps his straw, Ubeis HaBokor, or his barn where he keeps his animals, Ubeis HaEitzimor, where he keeps his shed, where he keeps his wood, Ubeis HaOitzareis, or Sam, where he keeps his, you know, he has a shed outside in the backyard. If I live in that, that's considered a house. So therefore, Hareza Eiv, that's considered leaving the Eiv in a house, in a proper place. And similarly, if somebody lives there, they're considered a second resident of the courtyard, and if he doesn't contribute to the Eiv, we have a problem. Rabbi Yehuda says, I agree. However, in Yesham Tfisas Yad Shabbal Abayis, if the owner of the, let's say, the shed, still has materials in the shed, so then he still has a Tfisas Yad, he still has rights to that area to use it in Oitzer. He's not going to ask it. Now, this is talking about, as we'll see in the Gemara, that he actually does have stuff there, and the tenant can't remove the stuff, so he reserves an area for himself in the shed, so it continues to be owned by the owner of the property, and therefore they remain, it again remains one Rishos, and he just is technically considered my guest. That's the Mishnah. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara now says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Berei de Rav Shmuel, Vashilas kol mokom sha'amru hadar sham eina oiser. Any time that the rule is that if I say that if I live there it doesn't answer, meaning it's not considered an eruv, it's not considered a house, so therefore if I put my eruv in that same similar type of courtyard, in that similar type of yard, it's not considered an eruv because that's not considered a house. The exception to that rule is chutz mi beishad yachid, is that only if you're dealing with a individual, a private house that has his own open courtyard, over there we say that shahr is considered a second person, because it's a private house and the second person is now living there. Similarly, the general rule is anytime we say shamar chachamim ein manichin by eiriv, if I say that I can't put my eiriv there because it's not considered a house, it's not considered part of a house, manichin by shituf, that's considered part of my courtyard and I'm allowed to put my shituf mevois. Remember, shituf mevois is when the courtyards are using a thoroughfare as a, you know, trying to mimic starif that. So that's considered the courtyard for purposes of a shituf mevois. Chutz me'aver mavli, except leaving something in the space of the airspace of the mavli. Clearly, leaving it in the mavli is not considered part of my courtyard, but I also can't leave my shutuf mavois out in an unprotected area. This is where Rashi says, because it's not mishumar, it's not watched over it, or suggests that. My kamash malon, what's the chiddush of that? Of course, with Tanina, we learned in a braisa. That's our mishnah. If I leave my eruv in a gatehouse, or the hallway, or a porch, in eruv, it's not considered an eruv. So what do we see? Eruv hu delay have. It's not considered an eruv for purposes of eruv chatzeres, hashituf have, but it would be good enough for placing my shituf mevois there. So this braisa that tells us this exception is not really teaching us anything. My answer is beishar diyachid ba'avid demava yitzrachle. You're right. The general rule is not the chiddush. The individual exceptions to the rule, that's the purpose of this braisa. Again, to teach us that a shar shal yachid is considered a second rishos, and the aver mavoi is also considered, is not a good enough place to leave my shutuf mavois. Itzrachle, that's what Deloy Tanan, those parts were not said in the Mishnah, and that's what the braisa was trying to point out. Tanya Nami Yachid, we learned in the braisa similarly. Again, if somebody puts their eruv in a gatehouse, or the hallway or a porch or the chater, ubemavli in a chater or in a mavli, hareze eruv. It is a good eruv. So the Gemara says that's a statement. So the Gemara says, one second, about Tanan, that's not true. We learned in a Mishnah, ain't the eruv. That's exactly the opposite of what our Mishnah says. That if you put it in a gatehouse, it doesn't count as an eruv. The Gemara says, ema hareze shituf. What we meant to say is not that it's an eruv. We use the wrong word. Even though eruv usually means eruv chater, so shituf means shituf mavois. Here, when we said the word Eruv, we meant Shituf Mavoi. So the Gemara says, Shituf Mavoi Loi Minter. How could I actually leave my object in the Mavoi itself? Nobody's watching it. So how could it, if we owned a property jointly, we would never leave it in an open area over there. So the Gemara says, you're right. What we meant to say is, Eimer B'chotzer Shebe Mavoi. When I said Mavoi, I didn't mean literally in the thoroughfare where people walk. I meant, what are the courtyards off the side of the Mavoi? And that's where but the point is I don't have to leave it in a house. It could be in the courtyard as long as it's off the side of a mavli, that's considered protected enough that that's where I would leave a public property. Or privately owned property for the partnership. Now the Gemara continues. B'nei Chabura Shahayim Mesubin. You have a group of people that were all lived in the same courtyard, and they were sitting together Friday afternoon, B'kiddush Olayim Ayim, and then all of a sudden it turns into Shabbos before they do anything, and they didn't really formally make a tziruf. They didn't join together. So we paskin Pasha Ala Shulchan Soimchan Olayim. The bread that's on the table, since they're all sitting together, that can be considered what they're like, for example, when you're in a hotel, if you're at a convention. So the food that the caterer sets up for everybody, that becomes the Erev because everybody's joining together for that food. V'amrilah, and some people say, Mishum Shituf, it works not as an Erev, but rather it works for Shituf Mavoyis. So if everybody from the Mavoy is sitting in the same place, they can even count that for the Mavoy. So Amar Rabba V'loy Pligi. So they're not arguing. In other words, when I said that it works for the Shita of my voice, that's not to say that I disagree and it doesn't work for the Chotzer. They're not arguing, they're just saying two different points. Kamb and the Subim Babayis, it depends where they happen to be sitting at the moment. If they're in a house, then it counts as an Erev. Kamb and the Subim Chotzer, if they're sitting on the, you know, on the outside, on the picnic table, outside in the courtyard, so then it counts for the Shita of my voice. So now Abaye says to Rabbi, Tanya the Messiah, I'll bring you a raya that it depends where they're sitting. Eruvei Chatzeroyis B'Chotzer. When you're trying to make an Erev for the Chotzer, you have to be in the Chotzer. The Shituf Mavoyis, the Mavoy. And if you want to make a Shituf Mavoyis, to join the Mavoyis together, you have to be in the Mavoy. Now, of course, if you just remember what we said 2 seconds ago, that's not true. But let us understand this. Eruv v'chatzeres b'chotzer? You're telling me I can make an Erev in the Chotzer by having the food in the Chotzer itself? Well, it's not. We learned in the Mishnah. That's our Mishnah. That says if I leave it in a courtyard, that's not considered a house, it's not a good Erev. So you're right. So based on that, based on our Beferish and Mishnah, we revise it a little bit, and we say like this: Ema, Eruve Chatzeros, the bias Sheba Chotzer, an Eruv to make an Eruv for the Chotzer, it should be left in one of the houses in that Chotzer, as opposed to Rashi says, as opposed to a house that would be in a different Chotzer. It's not just enough to be in a house; it has to be in a house that's connected to this Chotzer. But so it's connected to the Chotzer. That's what we meant when the Chotzer. We meant the house in the Chotzer. And also similarly, Shituf Mavoyis b'chotzer sheba mavoy. When we're trying to make a Shituf Mavoyis, we're not leaving it literally in the mavoy. What we mean is we're leaving it in the courtyard. But again, it has to be connected to this mavoy. It has to be at least a courtyard that's connected to this mavoy. Then it's counted as then it makes a Shituf for this mavoy, as opposed to a chotzer that's not connected to this mavoy. It's not enough to be in a chotzer. It has to be in a chotzer that's connected to this mavoy. Okay, we'll stop here. Pick up with this next week.